from working at Rolling Stone, I did a lot of projects that I needed help from this amazing record label called Rhino Records, where other total passionistas and what was the male form, passionistos? I don't know. Work there. And again, we just had this mind meld about all this total music obsessions. And I was really into the beats, and they did a beatbox set, and James Austin, who was another huge mentor of mine, hired me to write some stuff for that. And then James was doing a box set of old Gene Autry radio transcriptions and turned me on to it. And, you know, I loved cowboy stuff too as a kid growing up in North Carolina and seeing some of the old TV shows and things and reruns and stuff. Who doesn't love, you know, Back in the Saddle Again and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, we all know. So anyway, I got really fascinated by him and found out he had been an early kind of hillbilly blues, Jimmy Rogers style, rambling, gambling singer in the early 30s and late 20s. So I got so obsessed with his music, and I pitched a story to the New York Times and about Gene Autry. He was 89 years old at the time, had not given an interview to the popular press in a long time, mostly was doing his baseball, the Angels, and his mini business ownership, you know, owned a lot of TV and radio stations, etc. And anyway, James helped me get an interview with him. By really going to bat for me with his office, who are very, very protective of him because, you know, he was 89. And anyway, that ended up coming to pass, and I wrote this big story. I got to go out and interview him in his office in California, in Los Angeles, and that ran in the New York Times. And that's kind of what ended up leading to my writing his biography, because I really got into his story, and he just had this fascinating life. Also, another one of my passions, which I forgot to mention, well, I alluded to because of the nudie, the Rodeo Tailor. I'd really been into vintage Western wear for many years. I collected all the vintage cowboy boots and cowboy shirts and cowgirl shirts and things I could find at thrift shops and flea markets over the years, and got decked out in some of my best looking duds when I went out and did the interview with Gene Autry. Went to the museum that he had founded, which was planning to do down the pike a big exhibition on the history of Western wear. And I'm like, well, as a matter of fact, you know, and I was decked out. They're like, oh, you might want to be part of this. And I had just worked on a book proposal with a friend, a woman, Michelle Friedman, who's a great writer and fashion historian. I'd met her in New York City. Her then husband played in country rock bands at the time. So we had just written a book proposal, so we ended up doing a deal with the Autry Museum, and we did this book, How the West Was Worn, which became the title of their exhibition on the history of Western wear. So I became in that orbit, the Autry orbit, which then led to when he passed away in 1998, we ended up making a deal where they gave me access to all of his papers and living members of his bands and things like that, but with no controls over what I wrote. And my agent, Sarah Lazen, got me a book deal, and that took me into Western land. And it all goes back to, again, James at Rhino. And again, the passion thing, the whole subject of your podcast has basically led me to everything I've ever done. Is I've become passionate about something, ended up with like-minded people, and these projects come out of it. It's incredible.